The following is from Little Rock Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. For more information, visit littlerockchurch.org.
John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31 is going to be our text this morning. We're going to be all in John chapter 20. We're going to look at two different stories in the chapter. John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31 is going to be our text this morning, looking at what Jesus says about belief on Easter Sunday. This is after he is resurrected from the dead. This is after he has appeared to the disciples, to Mary Magdalene, to Thomas. This is what Jesus is saying. And out of respect for God and his holy word, if you'd please stand with me. I'm going to read verses 29 through 31 aloud. If you read in your copy, and then I'll pray, and then you may be seated. Jesus is talking to Thomas here. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for John's gospel. I thank you for the good news about Jesus and the things that Jesus did. And Lord, I think are among the people who have not seen. And yet, I believe you want every person in this room to believe in Jesus Christ and have life. And not just intellectual assent this morning, but that we would trust Jesus, that we would obey him and have affection for him. Those things are not at odds. And Lord, if there are any in this room this morning who aren't there, I can't convince them. There's nothing I can do that can convince people to have a soft heart. So I pray that your Spirit would do a work that only you could do, that only you can get the credit for. And that we would leave our time together saying, "God worked." For all this in Jesus' most precious name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's Easter morning, and I have the privilege of speaking to you for just a few minutes, and I want to speak to a very specific audience this morning. Sometimes I try to speak broadly to everybody in this room, and many of you are here normally, and I am glad that you are. Many of you in this room wholeheartedly believe in Jesus and trust in him, and I'm so thankful that you do. But this morning, I want to talk to those in this room who might have what I would call a complicated relationship with God. So that when you think of your life with God, you think it's just complicated. You're just not quite sure. You might have grown up in the church and believe in God at some level, but it's complicated, and it could be complicated for several reasons. You might be like the man I know whose wedding I performed a few years ago. He wasn't a Christian. In fact, he was anti-God. But his wife's family wanted a minister to perform the wedding. And they went to the church that I preached at. And so they got me. And I told them I'd be happy to do that. But instead of premarital counseling, I want to have three opportunities to talk about faith, God, Jesus, with this guy who was just anti-God. And I knew him before they had asked me to do this. And so it wasn't out of the place. And he was really into people like Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and YouTube videos with all the professionals there. And he was into what's referred to as the new atheist, and which I would say it's not so much a belief about science, but what we would call scientism. It's not about truth all the time, but often a caricature of someone who is anti-God using science as a mean to prop that up. But it's junk science. It's not true science. It's just theories and philosophy masked as science to defeat Christianity, and that there's not much there for most advocates. And I say all of that in the context that you need to know that I believe there are really smart people in the world who do not believe in Jesus. So that's not a statement on anyone's intellect to say that they don't believe in Jesus, that they're not a smart person. There are a lot of smart people who don't believe in Jesus. This man's brand of kind of anti-God was falling in line with that caricature of someone who is angry. It's not an intellect thing. So you might be like that. You've watched a little bit too many videos, and it's complicated. Or you might be like a friend I have who grew up in the church, who saw some things that weren't healthy. They're to this day disenfranchised about the church and God and everything. They really like the Gandhi quote. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And so for you, it just might be complicated. Or you this morning might be the kind of person who sees a lot of value in different kinds of religions. You see value in Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism, and you see beauty and truth in all faiths. And so your relationship in some way, from my perspective, you may not feel that way, but I kind of feel like you might be a serial, not a serial dater, but someone who has a serial faith. Like you can't just land one. You've got to collect them all. And you might not call it complicated, but you're the serial dater of faith and you can't settle. And so I would say that's complicated. I think in John 20, which is before the verses we read, we find two people who had complicated relationship with Jesus. One person is called Mary Magdalene. I think she had a complicated relationship with Jesus. And the other person in this chapter that we're going to look at just briefly is someone by the name of Thomas, the Apostle Thomas. John closes those two stories in John 20 with what Jesus said and what John said about blessed are those who haven't seen and yet still believe. And what John is doing in chapter 20 is he's telling two stories. The first is in the morning. And if you know the story, you know this part where you have the women and some of the apostles, they run to the tomb and you see Mary Magdalene crying in the garden. That happened in the morning. Mary saw Jesus and still didn't believe. And then the second half of chapter 20 is at the nighttime. It's the evening. First part is morning. Second part is evening, where Jesus comes to the disciples, and that's where Thomas says, unless I see and know, unless I put my hands in, I'm not going to believe. And it wasn't until 8 days later that Jesus showed up. That's really what's happening that John is doing in chapter 20, these two stories, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, and I think both of them have complicated relationships with Jesus. The purpose of what's been written, John says, is so that you would believe in Jesus, and believing you may have life in his name. And the word for believing that Jesus wants everyone in this room to do, it's a deep and rich word. It doesn't mean just intellectual assent. In fact, I would say what it means is to obey Christ and to have affection for Christ. You can obey Jesus and not love him. You can love him and not obey him. But to believe in him takes both of those things working together. You can, there are lots of, that's complicated for people. I love him, but I'm not going to obey him. 2,000 years ago, that's a long time. I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to love him. And I'm going to pick the parts in the Gospels that I really like. And the other stuff that he said that was really hard about following family, divorce, or just sexual morality, not so much. But I love Jesus. And then there's other people, they obey him, but they do not love him. And they use their obedience as a ladder to get to God, but there's no affection for Jesus. That's complicated. In Thomas and Mary Magdalene, we have complicated relationships. And we're going to read these stories, both of them. But one thing I want you to notice is that both Mary Magdalene and Thomas, even though I do think their relationship with Jesus is complicated, both of these individuals are very interested in who Jesus is. Without a doubt, they're very interested in Jesus. In fact, I would say they love Jesus. These are quote-unquote good people with a lot of good qualities about them. These are not stories in John 20 about Mary Magdalene and Thomas to say, hey, don't be like Mary Magdalene and don't be like Thomas. That's not what the point of the passage is. I think these stories are given in this way to show that Jesus wants you to move past that kind of complicated relationship with him so that you would believe in him, so that you would obey him and have affection for him. That's what I believe God wants every person in this room to do. Every person who might have a complicated relationship with God, he wants you to have affection for Christ and to obey Christ. So let's read the first story of the first person who has a complicated relationship, Mary Magdalene. This is going to be verse 11. It says this, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stood and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, she should have said, why are you in a tomb? But she didn't say that. She said to them, because that's weird behavior. Two guys just hanging out. in a tomb. Unless they're grave robbers, then we'd be very scared of them. But she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. She saw him and didn't know. She had proof, and she didn't know. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. The only reason we know, I really like Mary, and I like Thomas in these stories, but the only reason we know that Mary thought he was the gardener was because afterwards Mary would have said, I thought that Jesus was the gardener. And I can't but help but think Mary kind of laughed at that when she would tell that story in the future. I saw Jesus, and you know who I thought he was? I thought he was the gardener. You ever been at a party where they have people like wait staff and you misconstrue who the wait staff are and who the host is? And you kind of put your foot in your mouth. But later on, you can laugh about it. I think that's what Mary does here. Mary has a lot of good qualities. She loves Jesus. Without a doubt, Mary loves Jesus. She's one of the first ones to the tomb. She was there weeping. She's concerned. What's not to like about Mary? What she's doing is so admirable in a lot of ways. But what makes her relationship complicated is what Jesus talked about in verse 29. She saw Jesus and still didn't believe. It wasn't until he said her name in his voice. See, Mary's issue is that she had false expectations about Jesus, and I don't think she believed that he was all-powerful. People explain this through grief. Mary was just overwhelmed, and she didn't know. And I think some of that's true. She's grieved. She might not have known because of grief. But we assume she saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. We assume she saw Jesus heal all sorts of people. We assume she knew more miracles that Jesus did than we have recorded and we know about. And yet she had false expectations of who Jesus is. See, I don't think she thought Jesus was all powerful as he was. Her relationship was complicated. She saw Jesus and she didn't know it was him. It wasn't about proof. Think about that. What lacked for her was not proof. She saw him. I wonder how many of you have a complicated relationship with God, and it's not about proof, but false expectations of God. God hasn't shown up like you thought he would. Mary didn't expect Jesus. She expected a dead man. She thought she had a gardener. She had false expectations. I've shared this story before, but I feel like it fits for Mary Magdalene's complicated relationship with Christ. It's from The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. The kids are waiting eagerly to meet Aslan the lion, who represents the Christ figure in the story. And Susan, one of the sisters, she says, Aslan is the lion, the great lion. Oh, I thought he was a man. And Susan asks, is he safe? Is he quite safe? Because I'll feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. And Mr. Beaver said, safe? Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. And loved ones, if you have a complicated relationship this morning with Christ, you have an interest in him, maybe much like Mary had an interest in him, I want you to know that there is no proof that I can give or anyone else can give that can make you believe. Jesus Christ could walk in this room and you still might not believe. It's not about proof. Not about proof. But I pray your heart softens. I pray that you don't have Jesus. I pray that you don't have to have Jesus saying your name out loud to wake you up. Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Not about proof. And by the way, Jesus doesn't owe you any. He's not out to impress you. The question is, are you impressed with him? That's the issue. In fact, those kind of questions, I don't have enough proof, those are pride questions. God does not owe us a thing. He'll be just fine without your respect. But if your heart softens, you can love Jesus. So I hope as you sit here right now, this moment, that it's not about proof anymore. It's not about explanations or cute stories or anything. I hope your heart softened because Jesus wants you to believe. That's what John says. Blessed are they who haven't seen and still believe. That's what Jesus wants. He wants you to trust him more than anything else right now. He wants you to obey him and have affection for him. Mary had expectations and they weren't fulfilled. It's complicated. The second story about a complicated relationship is Thomas, starting in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand in the side, I will not believe." After 8 days, which is Sunday to Sunday in Jewish culture, after 8 days, the next Sunday night, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came and the doors having been shut, stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger, see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him again, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." Thomas is a little bit different. And again, notice Thomas has good qualities. He's not going to take anyone else's word for it. He wants to believe for himself. But here's where his relationship with Jesus is complicated, and ultimately it's complicated with God. He wasn't going to believe until Jesus proved himself to Thomas. And as I just said, Jesus doesn't owe Thomas anything. And he doesn't owe any one of us in this room anything. See, I think when Thomas fell down and said, "My Lord and my God," and finally woke up, it was the pride melting away from his heart, because his attitude all along had been, "I'll believe as long as Jesus fits my expectations. And my expectations are that I can touch it and feel it and know it's real." How many days later did Jesus show up? 8 days, next Sunday night. Jesus had shown himself to the other disciples at this point. Can you imagine Thomas living with Jesus for 3 years? The other disciples, his friends, "Jesus came and he saw me. Jesus came and he saw me. Me, he showed himself to Mary." There's Thomas in the room. "Why not me? Monday, I get it. He's busy. He has a lot of things to do. Tuesday, I'll give him Tuesday. Wednesday, where's Jesus? Thursday, where's Jesus? Peter got, John got, Mary got. Where's Jesus? Does Jesus like me? Does he care for me?" See, Thomas' relationship with Jesus is complicated ultimately because Thomas made his relationship with God about him. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Bless John who showed up at the tomb, saw that it was empty and believed." You need proof as though God is going to cater to you. And some of you in this room might have a complicated relationship with God because you're waiting for him to show up in a way that will impress you. And let me tell you, loved ones, if you're not impressed with the life of Christ and the resurrection, there isn't anything big enough that God will do that will make you impressed. See, I'm not praying for you this morning that you would be impressed by God and that he would earn your respect. Because all through life, that's how you've dealt with people. Those who impress you will get your time. I'm praying that your heart would be softened. See, for everyone in this room who has a complicated relationship with Jesus, an empty tomb means that you don't have to have a complicated relationship anymore. Jesus clearly wants everybody to believe in him. He wants everybody in this room to obey and trust him. And it's not about proof. It's not about me getting up here and doing an apologetic thing about how the disciples weren't hallucinating because X, Y, and Z. That's impossible for a group of people to hallucinate. Or it's impossible for the body to be taken because the Roman soldiers, they guarded it. And if the body was taken, they would have all been killed. I've got 8 proofs that Jesus is risen. None of it matters. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. The issue isn't the proof. The issue is the heart. And the pride that we have around our heart that blocks Jesus from getting through. And my prayer for you this morning is that you would let it melt away. There's an old song that I'll sing to the girls, especially when they're babies. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Will you let him come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for all the people who have complicated relationships with you, who don't believe in you, you believe in them. And who don't know quite what to do or where to turn, you know. And Lord, I pray the heart would soften so that we would love Jesus and obey him. Lord, if there are any in this room who feel convicted about that and have that complicated relationship, Lord, I just pray you would do a work on their heart that only you could get the credit for. That their heart would soften to trust and obey our Savior Jesus. I pray all this in Jesus' most precious name.